Day two, welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Our guest today is Dr. Walter Blevins, Judge Executive for Rowan County. And Judge Blevins, as always, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about something that you and I have discussed from time to time, and this involves a project that Kinder Morgan wants to undertake here in Rowan County. They want to take part of the old Tennessee gas pipeline, use that to pipe liquid natural gas, I guess, through the state to other areas of the country. And I guess they're also putting in some of their own piping to go with this. But this has been a controversial project, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. There are several, I think about 17 counties along in Kentucky that this will go through. We're one of those counties. I think we may be more impacted than maybe other counties because of the proximity of the pipeline to schools, to businesses. It's a grave concern for many of the people that live along that pipeline.
And that's because of the explosiveness of the liquid natural gas.
Yeah, I've heard anywhere 50 to 100 times more explosive than your normal natural gas.
Now, fiscal court, I guess, took some action here this past week in regards to this project that Kinder Morgan wants to undertake.
Yeah, I think FERC, the agency up in Washington, D.C. that looks at these projects, did an analysis, and they okayed it for environmental concerns. But some of the people came to us in the court meeting and brought their information that they have not done an impact as far as health and safety of the community. And we've signed a resolution and agreed to voted on a resolution unanimously to ask FERC to do a more thorough examination before they actually allow this to occur.
You mentioned that agency. I'm not familiar with that.
Federal Energy, I can't remember the name of the mnemonic. It's called FERC, but it's Federal Energy Committee or
something along that line.
Yeah, something along that line.
But their job is to look at projects like this and rule on potentially
environmental hazards, and we want them to do a little further and do a more thorough
study.
So
they do work with health and safety type issues.
The way I understand, they do.
What are your chances of this happening?
Well, we passed a resolution, so we're hoping that if enough of us will pass resolutions along this pipeline, because it goes through several states as well, just not us. And I know some of the communities along this in the Kentucky route have passed, they have zoning, and they have passed some strict zoning regulations on them to try to defeat it if they can. And, of course, we don't have zoning. We can't do that. All we can do basically is send letters and resolutions to object and to hopefully make them do a better research on it.
This request that you're sending up, will this delay the project in any way?
No, I don't think it'll delay it unless they take our resolutions and decide, yes, maybe we do need a further study of this because it's something new. And you're using a 70-year-old, parts of that pipeline are 70 years old. You're reversing the flow, which increases the danger, with at least what some of the physicists and the people I talk to. There's some great concern that this pipeline will not be able to handle that and be safe for the communities that it runs through.
What's the timeline for this project? Have they already started?
No, they say they've not started. They have been doing some replacement of pipe along some of the lines, but they say that's really not for this project. But, I mean, it's their word against what other people say, and other people seem to think that they're actually already started on it.
So when do they want to start shipping this liquid natural gas down the pipeline?
Well, I don't know if anybody knows for sure. I've talked to the lobbyists for Kinder Morgan, and they tell me that there's really not a market for this product right now. And what I've been told, if they do have a market, it'll be over in maybe in China or somewhere out of the United States. So we'll get all the risk and no benefit for the community at all. And that's what our concerns are, mainly the health risk and the danger it imposes on our population.
Yeah, if there's an explosion, I understand it could be disastrous.
It could be disastrous. And not only just an explosion's bad, but the way I understand it, if you just had a leak and it didn't catch fire, it'll basically asphyxiate anybody that's close to it because it just, you know, you don't have any oxygen to breathe. It replaces that and it lays right along the ground. And it's basically could cause a terrible disaster without even exploding.
I know that you and members of the fiscal court have been studying various options for what you can do possibly to stop this project. Say the feds say, nope, it's okay, we've looked at it, and we're going to go ahead and say, go on with the project. Is there any recourse you can take at that point?
I don't believe there is. Without having planning and zoning, I don't believe there is, and that's one reason I've tried to do some planning and zoning for the community, at least find out what people think about it. I've got a committee I'm trying to put together to hold some hearings maybe around the county, but by the time we could even pass this, it'd probably be long overdue. So we probably wouldn't be able to use any kind of zoning to protect ourselves. But, again, zoning is something I think as a community we probably need to look at.
Yeah, and we'll kind of dovetail into that right now, that you're in favor of countywide zoning, which has been another controversial issue because people don't like to be told what to do with their property.
Well, that's true, but, again, people don't want to see somebody come in, a neighbor come in, put something next door to them, and ruin their property as well. So it's a double-edged sword. It has some good, it has some bad. It's something that I think we need to look at. Other communities have it, and it works relatively well. But if we can't get that, at least we're going to look at trying to do maybe at least a construction home and maybe commercial buildings that would have a building inspector like the city does. And that's another we're going to put that on our agenda to look at if people how they feel about that. We've had some one of our citizens came in and complained about one of our electrical inspectors saying that he didn't do an inspection, and she's had it inspected by the state. The state's found several some not so bad, but some that could cause fire and damage to the people, and she wants to make sure that that person is dealt with, and we're waiting on to see what the state does, and we may not have one of our inspectors.
That brings up the argument that people have used in the past about zoning who are in favor of it, saying it doesn't necessarily tell you what you can't do with your property, but it does protect your rights as a property owner from things coming in to your area that you may not want to be living next to, say, putting a dog kennel next to a subdivision.
Absolutely, or something, maybe a hog farm or a chicken farm or whatever you put next door to a nice residential area. That's when zoning would come in and be favorable to people. But it's something I think at least we need to talk about. I'm going to take some heat probably for even bringing it up, but that's part of the job. You do what you think is right. You listen to the sides, both sides, and we'll come with some decision maybe by the court.
How do you move forward with this?
Well, I've got a committee. I'm trying to put together a committee with people willing to go out here in the community and get beat on. It's hard to find people to do that sometimes, but I think I've got at least two members that are going to try to do it. I'm looking for two or three other members. If anybody wants to be a part of that, feel free to call me, and I'll try to put you on the program or as one of the committee members. And I'd like to hold these meetings in each one of our firehouses, and it's kind of the community areas we're looking at, and kind of get a feel of what they feel about it and see if they think it's something we need to at least look into. And there's, I think, Pendleton County passed this recently. They're kind of a suburb of the Cincinnati, greater Cincinnati area, but they're still a rural community, and they passed it, and we've had some I think the county attorney up there is willing to give us some information, actually has given us a copy of their zoning, and it's something I think we at least need to look at and talk about because other communities do it, and it's been valuable to them, and others, of course, some communities don't want it, so, and it can really cause some problems by not having it as well. Brings to mind back when I was a legislator up in Lawrence County, they were going to bring a big pyrochemical company in that was going to basically incinerate chemicals you want to get rid of. Trouble is, they sited it real close to a high school out there and in a neighborhood area, and the people got up in arms and they passed zoning in a rural county like Lawrence County. So I think when people look at that, it can protect you. Maybe it's time that we look at trying to protect some of our citizens and some of the investments they've made as well.
Have you got a target in your mind as to when you'd like to start holding some of these public
probably
meetings?
First of the year. We'll try to get together some committee. January and February is kind of rough, but we'll have to kind of look and see what the weather looks like. But I'd like to get started on it as soon as we can, so we at least have some hearings, and we can always come back maybe in the summer and finish it up and make recommendations to the court.
Saw something interesting here. This is kind of another matter, and we'll talk about the jail as we always do here in a moment. But the school district is looking at I guess, updating its athletic complex. And this was an issue that the city and county were involved with not too long ago, and there was the idea that all three entities could work together maybe to put artificial turf on the football field. And then the city and county, when the high school was not using the field for school activities, could then use that surface for, say, recreational things that, or things that they'd like to do out there. Now that the school district has kind of renewed talks about this, would the county be interested in getting involved in some way?
I think the court would, and myself. I think it's a good thing to be a partner with the school on this. I think if we can have assurances that we can use it for some of our things, just not for school things, I think it would be something wise for us to do along with the city. Anything you do to make that school better usually helps the community, and we've made that initial vote, and we just kind of got word that maybe the school wasn't interested in it at that time, so we just decided to, withdraw our support. But if they want to come to before the court, I think that you'd find a court that's relatively happy to try to help.
How important is it in a smaller community like this to partner on projects like that to get things done?
I think you almost have to, Chuck. Nobody's got all the money, and sometimes if you pull together those entities, you can come up with a small amount of money that each one of us can find to put into a good project.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. We'll take a break right here. When we come back, we'll have further discussion with Judge Blevins right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. Again, Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins is joining us today. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Now we'll talk a little bit about the jail project, as we always do, Judge Blevins, and it's something that's ongoing. And give us the progress report.
Well, you can actually see some of the building going up right now. Most of the foundations have been put in, and we're starting with the walls going up, and that's a good sign. Hopefully we'll continue to work and have decent weather. We need some rain right now, though. That's probably my biggest concern right now is we've been lucky not having any major fires that I know of in the county, but I did put on a no-burn ban because of all the surrounding counties have had them, and I think it was time for us to go ahead and join forces with them. We actually got some of the damage from the fires in the southern part when the prevailing wind was coming from the south. We were getting a lot of their smoke, so I didn't want to add to the smoke either.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've discussed, too, in the past about the various change orders you get from a state inspector. They come over, look at the project, and they say, you know what, you're going to have to make a change here, make a change there, and obviously sometimes that costs you money. Have you received any more of those?
We didn't get any this time, but they were potential for doing one. I've got to talk with my jailer. We're looking at going wireless on these video conferencing centers for people. You can do visitation through video versus having to come to the jail. It's probably safer for people and less likely to see contraband exchange if you have those kinds of facilities available. But I think the jailer has come with some a movement to go back to wired facility, and that's going to add some cost. I've got to check with him and see exactly how much it is, and probably talk to the contractors and see what is best. But I think they're wanting to go with a wired something, I guess, with the reliability of wire versus wireless. And I guess building a jail with all the steel and all the thick concrete that's put into it, all the grout, that's harder to get those signals out. It could be a problem, but I'm going to look into that and hopefully make a decision before they actually move on that.
You talked about the progress that's been made. Of course, we had a very wet summer this year again. I guess it's been less few. It seems like it's been like that. But the dry fall, has it helped the workers then catch up?
Oh, I think they're caught up. As far as we can tell, they've not told us they're behind, and it looks to me like they're making wonderful progress, and we're all excited about seeing the thing come out of the ground.
It looks like the steel's starting to come out.
Yes, and actually they've got some concrete masonry already in one part of the area out there already up.
Well, these change orders, I mean, the one thing would have to be is, I would think at times, kind of frustrating to get these when you feel like you've got everything planned out and everything is moving along in the right way, and then all of a sudden you get one.
You get them, but we've been very lucky. Actually, the most expensive one was putting in manholes versus this pipes to clean out the sewer system. And that was our decision to make. You could have got by with it, but we thought, looking at it, it's probably good to have the manholes, because if you ever have to go in 15, 20 years later and do some work, it'd be a lot easier to already have those things in place. It'd probably be cheaper to do it now than to have to deal with it in the future.
What's the next step in the construction?
Well, hopefully you start seeing the masons get out there. There are some already out there, but they'll come in full force and try to get the walls up and then try to get the concrete slabs put on the building, and hopefully then start doing the finishings on the inside.
We talked about it. Once that thing gets up, I mean, it's going to change the entire look of the east side of the city, isn't it?
Which I think is something positive, because that part of the community, that old tobacco bar house, was just ready to fall down. It had actually fallen down in some places, so it was an eyesore, and I think we're going to have a very nice building out there to kind of dress up that area of the community and of the city.
You're getting ready, you and the fiscal court are getting ready to hold a joint meeting with the mayor and city council here on November 28th.
That's correct. Well, we're trying to do that each year. It just gives us a chance to get to know each other. Of course, there's going to be a new court member, or not court member, but a new city council member. I don't know if he'll probably be there in attendance, but he won't be officially sworn in at present, I don't believe. So it gives a chance to kind of talk with each other and look at projects maybe. And I know the city's trying to do some projects. We're doing our projects, and maybe in the future we can do a project together.
One of the big topics, I'm sure, that will be discussed, the needle exchange program that's been proposed.
Well, we've already went ahead and passed ours. We had two of our court members vote against it. We had three members voted for it, so we've approved the health department to go forward with it. We had some good testimony. The Carter County people came over who have had one since February. It's a rural area, kind of like us, and they've had a very successful program. They got about 6,000 needles that have been turned in, and that's better than having them laying on the sidewalks or in the ditches or at the bus stops or even worse, to be on some playground.
Now, I talked with Joe Klein, and I mentioned this to the mayor when he was over last week. Joe Klein, of course, is the chief deputy for the county sheriff's department, and he is the man who oversees Operation Roundup, the anti-drug sweep that's still ongoing. And he said he's all for the needle exchange, but he says the one thing he'd like to see in that is some sort of counseling element that's mandatory for these drug addicts who come in to exchange needles. Is that a part of the county's proposal?
I don't think they mandatorily have to put them into counseling. We try to encourage them. I think we're going to try to encourage them, give them information where to go when they're ready to go into treatment. As far as, again, those details will be worked out by the local health department, because I'm a member of that as well. And we'll come with a program, our program, but we're looking at others. Programs around the state that how they're enacting theirs. We're hopefully will get the good parts and try to make ours as good as it can be and make it a successful program and trying to get people into treatment.
The other thing I'm betting you'll be discussing is that tax increment financing district proposal for downtown Moorhead, which, you know, we've talked about with the mayor, we've talked about on various other programs here. Do you like that idea?
I think it makes a lot of sense. A lot of communities have used it. I think it's available in several other states have using it. And I think it's another tool that can be used to develop parts of a community, parts of a town, even parts of a county. If you can find the right projects and I guess what we're trying to do is get a hotel, a downtown hotel. That's probably the key. Tie it to our conference center, which would make it a better place to attract conferences to the community, and that's what that's what it's all about. Plus, usually if you bring that kind of a hotel, you'll bring other restaurants and other businesses, and of course some of those things will be right inside the hotel proper. But we're also looking at trying to get some more downtown housing apartments, maybe higher class apartments for the community. All those things, you use the tax increment financing to do the parking garages, to do parks and those types of things, sidewalks and dressing up the community. So other communities have used it, and I think it's time for Moorhead. If we can pull some people together and take advantage of it, we should do it.
In talking to some other officials, they feel like that this could be the linchpin to some major development in the downtown area.
That's what we're all hoping for. I've been in many of those meetings, and we've talked about it. I think that's been our key for the community, key for the lease for the city, is to try to get a downtown hotel and make this downtown a more viable place to do business and to live.
As part of this, I know that in talking with the mayor and with Tony Pence, who's the director for Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, they're both saying that this could also create a great deal of tax revenue for the city and county, and that means a whole lot of good things for a whole lot of programs and projects and things of that nature.
That's true. Of course, you're really, I think you get about 20% of the new taxes that come in from this will go to the city and the county. 80% of those dollars will go into developing the project in TIF area and trying to bring those projects to the community. So we're all hopeful that we've got the votes to pass it, and we'll have to have a public hearing about it, and we'll do that and try to get moving forward on this, hopefully before at least the beginning of the year.
I talked with City Recreation Director Dave Morris, and he had told me that the surveys are being finalized in terms of the information that had been compiled, and that would be released pretty soon. Is this something you expect to come up perhaps at this joint meeting?
I'm hoping it does, but I don't know for sure that they'll do it then. I'm on the Recreation Board. I haven't attended all the meetings, but I attend occasionally and when I can, and I know that they've got all the information and just trying to put it in a form that can be easily digested by the public.
Are you pretty interested to see what this all
works
out?
Yes, I am very interested. Of course, I mean, I think, I know it's a big issue. People want recreation. I mean, when you lose your swimming pool, that's one of the biggest complaints I've heard about our community is not having a swimming pool. So I'm sure that's in there, that people want to have a pool for the people, but also they want other recreation facilities as well. It's just not basketball courts and tennis courts, but they want to see, dog parks, places to take their dogs and recreate, good places to walk, and we need more little league fields and baseball fields and all those softball fields as well. We need all those things, and we'll get a chance to look at them, see what the public when they put pen to paper and see what they really like.
I think the original drawing for the prospective park was put out about 10 years ago now. But it seems to me, and maybe you agree or disagree, but I'll ask you about this, it seems to me that there's been a growing swell of support for this project since that time. At the time the drawing came out, people were like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And you didn't get the impression that a lot of people were wholly interested in it as they are now. It seems like they're really buying in.
I believe they are. I think people, the more you are deprived and you see other communities not being deprived of recreation facilities, I think it makes you want to be at least keep up with the Joneses, and that's what we want to do is we want to keep up with the surrounding communities and move this state forward, move this community forward.
I'll ask you about your new Economic Development Director for the Moorhead Rowan County Economic Development Council, Bob Helton. How's he doing?
Bob's hit the ground running. We're very pleased with that. Our last meeting, he told me you can't talk about these things, but there's definitely some people kicking the tires out at the industrial park and looking at our spec building and also looking at some other areas. We think that, I'm hopeful and prayerful that we will hear something in the next few weeks and months to have something to announce to the public.
Seems like a highly motivated individual.
He really is. Bob, he's excited with this job. I mean, he's traveled, I don't know how many different states he goes to when he was working with Corman. So to be home and just to work on one community and try to make that one community shine, I think he's all excited about it. Of course, his wife and family's here. He's very close to West Liberty, where his family's from. And Bob, he knows most of this community anyway. He's been around helping us in other projects in the past. And with Hinkle, he worked with them for many years. So he's glad to be home, glad to have a time to spend in his bed, not be out on the road every night. So, but he'll still be traveling and doing what he can to bring jobs and opportunity here.
And we're glad to have him.
Tickled to have him. He's I think we're hopefully maybe the best hire we've made in a while, and excited. Not that Terry's not done a terrific job, but and we've been very close on a few projects with Terry, and we thank him for his service. And he's still helping Bob out there, trying to teach him all the ropes that he knows about. And we've had some good ones, and we're hoping that Bob will actually bring home the bacon for us.
All right, Judge. Thanks as always.
Thank you. Have a good day. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, too.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz on Front Page. See you next time.